Today is Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. It's a new year.
And it's time. It's that wonderful time of year when we can pretend that numbers on a calendar, some meaningless delineation of time, means that there's a reset that we can start over and that our misery that was last year won't carry over for some reason.
Are you saying that today is really no different than yesterday when you think about it? Is that what you're saying?
I am exactly saying that. Although, well, for tax purposes, there's a difference.
It's different.
For tax purposes, not it's much different.
Else. So you guys didn't do any New Year's resolutions. Technically, we're filming this on New Year's Eve, but no New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to myself. And there's the boiler snake.
The boiler snake has a New Year's resolution.
His resolution is to snake harder than he ever snaked in 2017.
Well, he's got competition now. He has the air conditioner snake. They're mortal enemies.
Oh, those that's been taken care of.
Yeah, he's back up in the ceiling now.
Well, it's like you didn't kill him. You just hit him away.
There'll be a clash one day.
As you can tell, it's the end of the year, and there's really just not a lot of technology news this year. I mean,
To
kick off the new year, You know, with CES being a little later than usual, and, you know, all of the other stuff. Are there things that I'd like to accomplish in 2018? Sure. Is it 2018 really any different than 2017? Not so far. So, yeah.
Well, technically, we're still in 2017. We also have a correction. And this one, I don't know. In hindsight, maybe we should have seen through this.
Yeah.
I think I wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
And that's why. But we also did pull it from a reputable news aggregation site. So we weren't the only one that was fooled. But the Bitcoin Chuck E. Cheese story was like an onion type story.
Yeah.
Aww.
We reported last year that technically, I mean, you know, that someone used Chuck E. Cheese tokens and sold them to unsuspecting people on the street. As it's like, here, you want to buy some Bitcoin from like a homeless guy
and then he made $1 million.
Yeah,
which that was probably the biggest tip off.
And we didn't even
because like, what tourist is carrying the value of a Bitcoin and they're in cash on them in New York City?
You know, I thought about that. That seemed really... But I saw a documentary on this guy that makes a living picking up scrap gold and diamonds and stuff in New York City. And I don't know if that was true or not, but there was at least a TV show about this guy who would walk around with like this putty and use it on the streets and stuff. And he was able to get enough gold dust and diamonds and crap like that that he could make a living.
But how much other garbage are you picking up?
Right? Quite a lot.
I think that is fake news, and I think what you would get if you did that is tetanus.
Yeah.
From all the needles?
Probably worse things from the needles.
Yeah, that's probably the drug
epidemic.
But here's the good news. Even though we gave you fake news, it turns out we're ahead of the curve, because fake news is best news.
Facebook is labeling fake news, but that makes people click on it even more, according to the analytics.
They did that a while back, and it does have that effect of, like, this is tagged with, maybe with not reputable. I want to click on it now and see what garbage it is, so that way I can tell all my friends, like, look at this garbage.
Well, do you think it's that? I mean, for the majority, do you think it's that? Or is it like, don't tell me what's real or not, I'll decide what's real or not? Or is it just that the fake news titles are so much more exciting?
I think that it's...
A little bit of both.
When you see a story that is written that is just so outrageous, it's easy to ascribe that to your enemies. Like, you look at it and it's like, oh, this was obviously written by people that don't share the same political beliefs as I do. Clearly. Oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket.
There were a lot, too, though, that were just like, you'll never believe, you know, like the really clickbaity, like, doesn't really affect your daily life, but people would repost it, and I was like, there's no way that's right. So I would read the base article, and then I'd go to Snopes just to prove it wrong. But no one really cares about that, so I'd never actually post it, but I'd be like, it's wrong.
Didn't they just win in that encounter?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got my click.
The trolls, man.
Do you think that Alex Jones or Peter Thiel or one of those guys will buy Snopes? Because that would be the ultimate havoc-wreaking instrument.
I've kind of heard that Snopes is not as reliable as it used to be.
I don't think Snopes was ever really, like, all that dedicated to fact-checking. It's just a very small amount of people, isn't it? It's like a couple or something. They just got that reputation and ran with it. So I don't think Snopes is all that more...
We're having strokes here.
I don't know. Like, maybe Trump was mixed in there somewhere in my brain. But I don't think Snopes is all that more believable than you know, whoever, CNN.
Yeah.
Well, the solution here, obviously, is to hire a Roman legion of cyber warriors to fight wrongful views. And that's exactly what Vietnam has done.
They're Vietnamese warriors, thank you. This was crazy. So the government has hired
10,000
people to do, like, you know, make sure that everything is kosher on, like, YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. And then the government will put in a request with these companies and be like, hey, can you take this down? What's crazy is, like, 90% of them, like, of the things they request to be taken down are taken down. 90%.
But is it, what constitutes bad?
No, well, they said wrongful views, but they, you know, get into it here. It's like anti-communism,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So this is not about, you know, protecting the kids or decency or anything like that. This is anti-government type.
Do they have Amazon in Vietnam? Because if they have Amazon in Vietnam, I want to know if you can, like, or whatever your local, like, however you would normally order a book. I want you to order a book. Can you order Mein Kampf in Vietnam? Because I'm sensing a dual standard if you can.
I don't, you might be, like, sentencing people to gulags.
Yeah, maybe don't do try that.
Hey, Alexa, order Mein Kampf.
It's not going to know what you're saying because you're saying it with such a bad accent.
Yeah,
it's
Kampf. Mein Kampf. Yeah.
There you go. That was like a Midwest accent. Midwest.
Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
Mm-hmm. The Library of The Library of Congress has given up collecting all tweets because Twitter is garbage.
I like to imagine that's what they said.
And
like,
of course they have to use a picture of Trump. Of course.
This guy can't help himself. He has to bash Trump like 2 or 3 times in this article. And I think this is just a measure of, one of the things they cited is because they doubled the amount of tweets, so you effectively double the amount of storage that you have to dedicate to this.
Well, then there was also multimedia and photos and videos.
Which they've never recorded. So some tweets are like, you know, oh my God, this is hilarious, but they don't record the photo, so.
Who knows what it could be.
Well, I've got some bad news for the article author, and that is, regardless of this change in policy, Twitter still, or the Library of Congress is still going to archive Trump's Twitter tweets.
And they have said selected tweets. So they will be. Now, whose job do you think it is?
To it's like sort a of box sit down of chocolates.
And be like, he calls up.
Greatest
like,
hits.
I've got another for the list. Another one's made it. They should add another. You know how they have the check mark? They should add a Library of Congress icon.
You've been selected by the Library of Congress.
You're being archived. To be archived.
How cool would it be? It's like, you were reviewed by the Library of Congress, but you didn't make the cut. We're sending you a fine selection of summer sausages to make it up to you.
That would just be a little garbage icon. It's like, we're not archiving you because you're garbage.
Oh, there have been a lot of stories. We've had a lot of people write in and post stories on the forum and stuff about this whole UFO existence. And, you know, some high ups in the DOD have said that it is, in their mind, proven beyond a reasonable doubt that that UFOs exist. But in all of the articles reading about this, I just want to point out that an unidentified flying object is not necessarily extraterrestrial in origin. Let's be clear about that.
She makes the comment here, and she says, we know that they're not ours. You don't know that. We know that they're not anybody else's. How could you possibly know that?
Yeah.
And so they must be alien, or, you know, or we should ask questions what they are. But, yeah, I mean, do you think, if you're the head of this agency, this is kind of a joke agency, don't you think? First of all, it doesn't exist anymore. But do you think the really high-ranking, secret, advanced aircraft programs are going to call you up and be like, hey, just want to, let's hop on a call. And I want to tell you about all the new super stealth fighters that we're putting up in the sky.
Well, not only that, but, you know, the world of scientists like PhDs and decorated academics that are working in nanomaterials research, they have conferences every year. It's not a huge number of people. And knowing some people that work in those fields, it's like, hey, if any like dark suit government types come to you and said you really need to work on research into this exotic element or into this exotic, you know, alloy or whatever, and the answer is no. So in terms of like alien artifacts directing research in the private sector, at least the people that would be working on that, I haven't seen any evidence of that whatsoever.
I think this article just had the one person's interview as well, which is like, if it's just the one guy mentioning like, it's totally real, guys, like, well, kind of makes it look suspicious. But then I thought,
that was the director, though.
Yeah. So. But then I thought, what if they're just setting that person up?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Not to go off on a tangent here, but the U.S. intelligence service has done some really, really crummy things to foreign businesses. Like, there was this amazing, I think, German company that made wind turbines, and they patented their stuff in Germany, and the American intelligence apparatus was like, ooh, American company that makes wind turbines, check out these designs, you should totally patent these. And that was the thing that happened in the not too distant past. And so it's like, I'm sure that the intelligence community would go to Raytheon or Boeing or somebody and be like, hey, you should maybe work on this advanced nanocomposite, and here's some samples, thanks. Because we do it with other countries. Why wouldn't we do it with aliens?
Clearly, XCOM has taught us that you research that early or you suffer. You got to get the alien alloys, man.
I want the exotic elements. I want, you know, like element like 285 or 391 or some. It's like, let's pack all those protons in, and then magically it's something else. I don't know. Off on a tangent. Do you like to install lots and lots of crap on your Android phone? Bad news, it's doing stuff in the background. If it's not mining cryptocurrency, it's listening in on you.
HoneyQuest.
HoneyQuest is one of the games.
HoneyQuest is. So yeah, there's a, what did it say, 1,000 games? Over 1,000 games?
I can see that.
At least it's honest with you. It's like, hey, I want to detect TV ads and content that shows appropriate and mobile ads.
Yeah, so they're going, they can't see that, by the way. They're going to... Or all these apps, they ask if they can use your microphone. And what they're doing is they're listening for TV ads and even musical clips. Like if you're in a grocery store, or restaurant or something. So it's taking samples of the music and sending it back. It's like, oh, your song is playing at Applebee's, you know, in this location. And they say, there's a little update at the bottom where the company actually contacted them. They're like, oh, no. We don't ever record voice. But if you're taking random samples, how do you...
That's being compared to something somewhere.
Yeah.
So, which is more believable? We've got the database of all possible things that match the voice print on the phone, or that the audio is being uploaded to the cloud and matched there. I mean, which is it?
And, of course, the horrible privacy invasion here, even if it is totally benign, it's running your microphone all the time, which is hurting your battery life, which we will find out later. Yeah. It's bad.
Everybody remember the old days of like custom ROMs and Android phones? And it's like, wow, my battery's lasting 2 days now. Now you know why.
I mean, I guess when you do those games, it's technically voluntary, but like, just don't install them if it asks for all those permissions.
I'm going to need a second burner phone just to play Plants vs. Zombies or whatever games were affected. I don't know if Plants vs. Zombies was affected.
I think, actually, if you look in that article, they do give you a link to another site that does have a list of all the games that they know. So you can go through and search and see if your favorite game is on there.
I don't install a lot of games on my phone.
You could, I think you could just do the permission thing too, right? Just revise the permissions and turn off the microphone. But do you really even want to support the company that's doing that?
Yeah.
The Android app store is just... my phone is so important, and the Android app ecosystem is such a cesspool that it's just not even worth the risk to install anything. Except for some open source stuff.
But... Chrome extension's totally cool, right? No reason to worry about
that. Oh, wait, no, not so much. 100,000 users have been mining cryptocurrency with a Chrome extension, which is the new norm. I mean, we've reported on this a bunch in 2017 with different extensions being bought by other developers and cryptocurrency being deployed. Well, here it is again.
Now, you should just assume that you're being used to mine.
They don't actually know if this is a hijack or a buyout. They tried to contact these people, and I don't think they could find an email address or something. But this is, I mean, there's a little bit of a silver lining here. This is a Tumblr-related Chrome extension, so no one of value was affected.
Probably to remove all the JavaScript on Tumblr's website because it runs like ass.
It's a Monero miner, you know, the good old Monero miner. I'm thinking about buying some Monero just because I think there's going to be an ecosystem there just from people hijacking. You know what I mean? It's going to go up, right?
Oh, the web trackers. Okay, so this article, the title of this article is Web Trackers Exploit Flaw in Browser Login Managers to Steal Usernames. This is old news. Like, honestly, this is old news. This talks about how ad tracking scripts can insert a hidden login field on a website and then wait for the browser to automatically fill the login field and then identify the user on the website even though you're not logged in. That is one technique among dozens of techniques that are routinely employed by even Google Analytics. I mean, Google Analytics tracks it in aggregate, But the details are collected. So just FYI, just because you're not logged into a site doesn't mean they don't know who you are.
Yeah. As convenient as the saved passwords are, you have to realize that once you have it saved, every website can get it through this method. And they only need to know who you are in one place to start to put together that profile. It's like, oh, okay, this IP logged in here as this email address. Well, let's see where else I've sniffed that email address from. Oh, let's put that together with their profile.
This is exactly like the Facebook login button or the Facebook like button. You know, you embed the Facebook like widget on a website. The reason Facebook did that as convolutedly as they did is so that Facebook can run their scripts on your page, which they do, and they mine the crap out of, and that data is insanely valuable to advertisers. Nothing new here. Just another thing to, it's like, you know, the level
to be
one
worried about.
Yeah, level one news, your source for existential dread. That's what we need. We need that on a t-shirt or something. I don't know. Oh, there's been an update. What is the update?
Text existential dread.
Oh, it's just
dread.
Their bullshit. Like, we value customer data, and it's basically like, we do. Like, they claim that they have a new system that doesn't do this anymore, which, you know.
It does it another way.
Yeah. As there's an ad for a truck right underneath it.
It's probably as you say. That, like, they couldn't come out and say that, but they're like, dude, what is this, 2013? Of course we're not doing that anymore.
We're doing it another way. Sonos and Bose speakers are being hijacked to play ghostly sounds. So it turns out that these speakers have some bugs, which have been exploited. And not really any news here either.
That's an excellent prank, though.
Yeah,
so funny.
It's a small number that were affected, just some of the earlier ones, I think. But yeah, they can get in there, and all they have to do is give it a URL. So it doesn't have to be sounds that are already in your library. So they were playing, like, you know, ooh, ghost sounds, and chains rattling, and doors creaking, and stuff like that.
Some I bet there were hundreds of forum posts, like, around the internet that were like, I can't figure out, why is my thing haunted? Does this happen to other people?
There are dozens of us, literally dozens.
Sonos has said that you have to have configured your system to be open to the internet in the first place, basically, like, you know, bypassing the router, and they don't recommend that.
Who knew? Wonder why.
The security problem with our product is your firewall. Let's be clear about that. Oh, there's an acoustic attack on hard drives that can sabotage PCs, closed-circuit TV systems, ATMs, and more. So this is actually, we're gonna walk this one back a little bit. Really super sensationalist title. In practicality, damn near impossible to pull off.
Yeah, they had to set up a very specific, like, angle the sound at it right, play the right frequency of sound, and monitor what was going on to see when it failed. But they could, there's a picture of it, pop that up. So, like, they have their little acoustic panel there. And look at all that foam they've got set up. It's like, oh, this is, you can replicate this in an ATM, right? But, yeah, they were able to, because the hard drive has a failsafe when it starts to vibrate too much so it doesn't scratch the plates. And it just stops working.
There's this is a known issue inside, like, data centers. Like, not in the not too distant past, if you had too many hard drives packed in too close to one another, the vibration from all the hard drives around all the other hard drives would kill your data transfer speeds. And all that was because of the vibration of the enclosure or whatever. So this is really, honestly, kind of a non-story. If we had, like, sonic lasers, like, of the kind that maybe they used in Puerto Rico, maybe this would be a thing. But Cuba. Yeah, Cuba. Because Puerto Rico's still without power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a thing. It's down there somewhere.
Also, Irma.
Puerto Rico, one of ours. So
Cuba will soon be one of ours. I mean, it's like, oh, we need to invade and take over because of the whole sonic weapon,
and
whatever.
And now we're demonetized
because we mentioned Cuba, which is the demonetization thing is so weird because once it demonetizes something, even when you get your monetization back, it doesn't promote it to anybody. It doesn't show up in anybody's feed or anything like that.
Look,
which is
what you've done. It's like you're trying to sabotage this company.
That would be admitting they were wrong.
We're going to show you something, but yeah, basically if the hard drive is vibrating, it doesn't do anything. Because if it works when it's vibrating, the read-write head can scratch the platters, which will release dust on the inside of the thing, destroy data. It's all types of bad when those things are happening. So this is really kind of a non-issue. But yeah, there's articles about it, so the more you know. Hackers are spreading cryptocurrency mining malware through Facebook Messenger. So
This is the particular app, though.
Yeah,
I think it's the Chrome.
Yeah, the Facebook Chrome extension. DigiMine.
So you get a link and it's like, hey, check out my video, and you click on it and it's actually a zip file, and you get this, and then it hijacks and sends it to all your buddies. It's classic malware.
It's the old email malware, except through Facebook Messenger, because no one uses email anymore, I guess, in the world of Facebook.
On the Chrome extension. So very specific attack vector here, but I guess plenty of people probably use that. So
they have an app for Android, too, and it's garbage. It asks for, like, all of your permissions. I've never installed it because of that reason.
Because of the cesspool that is.
Yeah.
You
know, because I don't want to get a zip file from one of my friends. Like, check out this video.
Thanks, App Store on Google. Filmmakers want the right to break DRM and rip Blu-rays. So I thought this was going to be, like, a champion of, you know, people that want to enjoy home movies and build, like, a home media server and stuff like that. I was very disappointed to find out that's not what they're talking about.
So it turns out there is an exception for this. Documentary filmmakers can rip Blu-ray and stuff to put clips in their documentary. So if you're doing a Trump documentary,
like B-roll,
and there's movies about Trump, you could pull that out. Now, what these guys are saying is they're basically making garbage documentaries, like, you know, like sensational documentaries, and they're afraid that they're so filled with bullshit that they won't be categorized as documentaries, which would then make them criminals for having put the clips into them. So they're saying, hey, all filmmakers should be able to rip Blu-rays. Now, here's my question. Could we not say that we're filmmakers?
Yeah.
I mean, we're making video all the time, right?
Yeah.
One would
think. We've got expensive cameras.
I would love to be able to build a home media server where I legally have copies of all of the media that I could ever want. And when it's like, I immediately want, it's like, oh, I remember that scene from Star Trek. That was really funny. Ha ha. I want to, within 3 seconds, be watching that particular scene from a particular episode in Star Trek. To do that with any kind of media is going to be at least 10 minutes of bullshit before I get to what I want. Whereas if I built my own media server with software that exists today, that would be no problem whatsoever.
I think if you set up a system where it's like somebody had to be certified or licensed or whatever you want to do as a filmmaker, it would start to be like the handicapped parking tags. Like, just everybody has one.
Yeah.
Who wants one?
It's funny you mentioned that. We recently had to register the forum as an online forum to continue to have DMCA safe harbor. That was a little thing that squeaked in under the radar. Whereas, like, if you're not on this official registry of running an online forum in the U.S., then you are not necessarily going to have the whole DMCA safe harbor. But we registered, so hopefully they'll email me if there's a DMCA takedown notice, I guess.
Your shitposts are safe, Lounge. That's what that means.
Well, it's kind of funny, though. It's like you have to, like, there was no real announcement, and you have to register to say that this is the official contact for DMCA takedown notices on something that we otherwise are not paying attention to because it is a user forum that is not, you know, quote unquote, not monitored for that kind of thing. And we explicitly have to be told about those things, but you have to explicitly tell somebody else that somebody is not monitoring the thing and this is their contact info. I mean, surely there's some irony there somewhere. I don't know. Piracy notices can mess with your thermostat, ISPs warrant. Basically, so you know how we report on Comcast and other ISPs mess with your unencrypted internet traffic to let you know that you're at your data cap or to tell you what a nice day it is or whatever reason they've invented this week? Well, it turns out that other devices other than you that use unencrypted traffic get those notices and they don't know what to do with the web page. So like if your thermostat's trying to connect to a service that's unencrypted, and it's getting these weird notices about you not paying your bill or a copyright notice or that you're near your data cap or whatever your ISP feels like injecting, those devices will stop working.
Your thermostat's just confused. It's like, I didn't ask for this. I'm just trying to heat the house up.
Well, this is specifically about copyright. So if you get copyright strikes with certain ISPs, there was a specific one that sent out this letter. And so they're Armstrong. Yeah, Armstrong Zoom. So if you have Armstrong Zoom and they've decided that you've violated copyright, they will send you a letter and you have to do like the little class, like driving school for copyright.
Oh.
And if you get another one after that, they will throttle you down. And one of the points they made in the letter was, hey, this is New England. It gets cold. you don't want your be a real shame if your thermostat were to shut down, wouldn't it? So yeah, it's really slimy and horrifying.
You got a Nest thermostat, and we're going to inject ads into that bad boy. Oh yeah,
and maybe yet another warning against Internet of Things.
Wow,
the Internet of Things is at the mercy of your ISP now, and they will threaten you with it.
Wow, I should write a novel about the dystopian future where you get accused of copyright infringement. And you know how like on YouTube, it's like you upload something and it's like, okay, this infringes copyright. But rather than take it down, we're just going to monetize it. So it's like you get accused of copyright infringement and then your life is monetized. So like you sit down at your computer and it's just filled with ads. And it's like, no, you will watch this 30-second ad before you can use your computer. You go to use the thermostat. There's something on the fridge. And you're just surrounded by ads all the time. Like your home theater system turns on at full blast, full volume. And it's, an ad for Old Glory robot insurance or something. I don't know.
On the bright side, space heater sales way up. Way up after this announcement.
What if the copyright holders could force all your technology in your house to like mine Monero or something? It's like, oh,
that'll probably be a story next week.
This copyright violation is worth $20 American. We're going to mine Monero and all your stuff until we get our $20 back. That just seems like...
Coming later in 2018.
Yeah, the future's so amazing.
But then we'd have to go to black market solar panels. Coming soon to the Level 1 store.
How awesome is it going to be? It's like we're going to have there's a black market for those old Core 2 Duos and those old Pentium 4s. And it's like, yeah, these computers, they're too slow and too obsolete for anybody to do any of that stuff too. So... Elon Musk has confirmed that Tesla plans a pickup truck coming after Model Y. So this
Look
is
at that ugly truck.
No one here. Can you imagine carrying hay in that? Can you imagine? I can imagine being stuck behind that. But where?
So they've got another. They got the Model Y coming up, which is the SUV, and then so this thing. I think it's a pretty far down the road.
Yeah.
But he's saying that he's always dreamed of it's going to be the size of an F-150.
Wow.
And he wants the magnetic suspension on it. Because he said he had an F-250 and he had terrible experiences driving it when it was unloaded. So his dream is to fix...
fix all the things.
Make a truck that works the same with or without any kind of load and with the battery pack to give it... weight in the rear so that it's actually not going to, spin around in circles.
See, I think that in terms of, like, profitability, I think Musk would be better off building, like, a smaller truck, like an S10-style truck, because, all over Asia and Taiwan and Japan, they have, like, these little utility trucks that are suitable for use in the city, and it's basically a really tiny cab and then, like, a huge cargo space in the back, but it's still a really tiny vehicle overall, and those as electric for zipping around the city, that makes perfect sense to me. An F-150?
I can't imagine anyone, like, I think farmer when I think F-150.
Yeah.
And, like, no farmer would buy that.
And also, with the farm, you might want to go for a long time without making a trip into town, or you might want to take it out and, load logs into it or whatever. An electric is just not going to be reliable for that kind of thing, a storm blows in and you got to wait it out. But you don't have enough battery to run the heater all night.
There's a lot of farm equipment that will literally run on anything that burns. And so I think it'll be a while before we get there on that side of things. Meanwhile, I think the market for those like S10 small like city truck kind of things, I think the market for that is potentially huge. So especially with the environmental regulations in the city. I mean, hell, China with their air pollution and stuff. I mean, you could single-handedly change the course of smog in a city. It'd be pretty cool. So,
except there's not enough rare earth.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Not enough lithium. And
Yeah.
A little bit of a problem. Yeah. Speaking of which, there's going to be even more rare earth in hard drives soon. Hard drives are dying. One of their death throes is they're going to add multiple actuators to a mechanical hard drive. Oh, there's an animated GIF here somewhere, but the ads are not letting me scroll. So.
Well, thanks. It's just more. Just stack them up. You've seen a hard drive before. Just imagine stacking those arms up on each other. It's not ready yet either. And this is a race against time, don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't see how this is going to ever get, unless this is ready in like the next couple of months or at least the first half of 2018. Oh, there it is.
We just saw an IBM ad for it looks, 20 seconds. But
that, those would be like, it looks like a Wolverine type. You know? It's really cool.
They didn't rule out the possibility of having multiple assemblies either, which this is actually not the first time that this, you know, way back when hard drives were refrigerator sized, this was not an uncommon design. There were some mechanical hard drives that had multiple read-write heads that improve. So if, with multiple read-write heads, you can be reading and writing from more than one place at once. You can double your IOPS or double your throughput. In this configuration, I'm curious. The article does mention that the hard drive would show up as like two hard drives to the host operating system, so I guess it would be up to the user if they want to do like a RAID 1, which would give you redundancy and double the read speed but the same write speed. And it would double the number of I/O operations that you could do per second in RAID 1, or RAID 0, which would double read and write. I don't know, though. This seems like the same conversation that I had with people when CRTs were dying. And it was like, I don't think LCDs will ever be cheaper than CRTs. And it's like, an LCD is a sheet of silicon. A CRT is like glass and copper and all this manual labor and tons of components. And an LCD is a sheet of silicon. Flash memory is silicon with some other stuff. And this is rare earth magnets and coils and motors and all kinds of like minutia. It is a marvel of modern engineering, but silicon in a plastic package versus a marvel of modern engineering. Hard drives are dead. I'm sorry. Moving right along. The FCC has approved a wireless power at a distance charging system. I was trying real hard to figure out what this is because it seems like BS, but maybe it's not BS, but I'm pretty sure it's BS.
They claim it's just radio waves, but it only works at about 3 feet, which, how much do you really gain from that?
That's just below the threshold that causes cancer.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that there's been no long-term studies on this. But yeah, it's basically, this is just a little thing that you, it's a hub that you plug other stuff into.
A dongle.
It works 3 feet away. So, yeah.
2018, the year of the dongle.
There's so many ads. We're trying to get to the next story. Chrome is popping up.
Chrome had a problem. Poor Chrome. Oh, and this is how ironic that this article is where Chrome shit the bed.
Yeah.
So if you've been living under a rock, you really need to go install Firefox Quantum. It's released now. We talked about it when it was in beta. It is insanely fast. Firefox is a joy to use once again. Mozilla's done some questionable stuff in terms of like bundling extensions and things like that lately. We're not going to talk about that. But Firefox Quantum is insanely fast. And the tweak that made the browser insanely fast, they've got a blacklist of all the advertiser scripts and analytics scripts. Those load last, guaranteed. And that's why it's so fast.
Now, we've had this problem. You don't see it here because we've cleverly cropped it out. But so many tabs when we do this. You know, we use Chrome to browse and show you these news stories. And when we load, we have a list of URLs, and we go down and just control click those URLs. The first 10, 15 are fine, and then you start to get toward 20, and
it really slows down.
They won't load at all. And the reason is because those previous articles are getting into the tracking scripts, and that is what absolutely just destroys performance. Now, the hilarious thing is we use one tab, and when you go back and load them all at once, no problems whatsoever, because they all get time to load the page. And usually, you know, good web developers load those tracking things last because they know how bloated and horrific they are. Well, Firefox is taking that out of the hands of the developer, and it's just like, yeah, we won't bother with these until everything else is done.
And it works so well. It's so nice. It's brilliant. Yeah. So good job, Firefox developers. Nicely done.
Now, they will still get your username, get your email, and attach that and, you know, record your profile across all the sites that you visit and sell that data.
But
that's still going to happen.
You can see those memes way quicker.
I thought Chrome was going to roll out a change that let background tabs only use 1% of the CPU. Of course, I guess we've got 100 tabs open.
Yeah.
It's 100% of the CPU, so maybe that's not good. So is this pronounced Jarlsberg? Is that what that is?
I think it's just Carlsberg.
It's Carlsberg. There's a C.
I know Jarlsberg the cheese, but this is beer, so I guess I don't know.
If it was a J, it would be pronounced Jarlsberg.
I think it is like a Danish company or something, so who knows?
I don't know. Anyway, Microsoft is getting together with this beer company to make beer ferment faster because it takes too damn long for beer to ferment.
Well, I don't think it's got anything to do with the fermenting. It's they are using AI. So when you make a new beer, you have to decide if that beer is worth drinking. And usually you have...
of course.
What do they call it? Spectrography. So you somehow you... I guess there are chromatography. Is that where you burn it and look at the...
The resulting...
I don't know how... But anyway, it's like, oh, this beer is unique. And, of course, people drinking it. And, you know, it's like the wine. It's like, oh, there's notes of leather. That's the kind of thing that they do. But they're saying, you know what? That takes too long. The development process is too long. Let's get AI involved here.
So AI is going to figure out what the most amazing beer is.
I actually talked to someone about this who works in, like, the flavor industry. And he said that they're also working on, like, machine learning and, like, setting it up so it can know what flavor is in chemicals to put together.
The flavor industry?
Yes. Is that not crazy? He works at, like, a place that does all, like, the special chemicals. So, like, they can figure out how to make the best, like, cream soda flavored thing.
What a great, like, you know, you meet somebody in a bar and it's like, oh, what do you do? I'm in the flavor industry.
Yeah. So, like, right now they have people who train for, like, I think he said 7 or 8 years. Wow. To become, like, a flavor profilist, and they're trying to make that all AI-based.
That doesn't sound like BS at all.
Yeah. They sell to big companies. I don't know. Someone's buying.
Could you get Lloyd's of London to insure your tongue if you were, like, a max-level flavor profiler?
You can definitely do that if you are into, like, the bourbon tasting thing. That is definitely something you can get insured by Lloyd's of London.
What a world.
I think what's happening, though, with this project is that what's going to happen is that those people who are like the people who've been training for 7 or 8 years to train their palate, there's probably going to be a lot less of them after they have a system that can tell you, these are what flavors you should use to get this flavor that you're looking for.
Also, think about the quantification of tastes good, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about on the package of the food you're going to get. It's like 98% on the whatever scale of deliciousness, you know, and it's not
the
based
computer
on,
scale.
Yeah, it's not based on any humans enjoying it. It's just the AI's decided this is the best ham.
Well, the AI, I think, is the starting point, and then they have one of these flavor people come in and say, let me tweak
But is it going to, so let's say you're a flavor person, right?
Like, yeah.
Do you have the balls to go against the AI? Like, the AI gives it a 99, and it's the emperor's new clothes. Everybody else is like, oh, yes, this is the best beer. And you're like, this is garbage, but I'm going to lose my job if I say that.
If I say that, yeah.
I was just thinking about, like,
7 or 8 years of training down
the acquired taste aspect. Like, how would the acquired taste aspect work if the AI is immediately feeding, you know, what it thinks people will taste good? You would never have any food that is an acquired taste.
I think beer is an acquired taste.
I think so, too.
I don't like beer.
Yeah. I mean, well, you have to train the AI in some manner, right? So...
Yeah, I don't know. He was talking about it, but I didn't know what all they're doing. He said it's very early development, but...
I would have no... Like, can you imagine the insecurity in that job? Like, first of all, it's bullshit. And second of all, the AI is just going to take over in a couple of years. So what are you... And what that skill set doesn't go anywhere else.
Oh, that's my stomach.
Krista was... She was drinking oatmeal. Yeah, that's right. Drinking
time oatmeal. For a level one segue.
Yeah, it's an oatmeal squeeze. It was on sale, and I wanted to try it. It is okay.
We don't endorse this brand, whatever it is.
It's a monk pack. It has a little chipmunk on it.
That was your body's way of telling you never ever to put that in again.
It tastes good, but the texture is very weird.
Oh, that's important. How are the AI ever going to measure texture?
I don't know. So have you seen the clip of the guy eating the vanilla ice cream, too? I guess it's probably, like, the same sort of job. That's a good clip, but that's another segue that we don't need right now. But
this vanilla ice cream tastes amazing, but it's like I'm putting crap in my mouth.
It's so thick.
I've never had vanilla peanut butter before. It's just...
Yeah, that's something I don't know. Questions to ask.
We should start working on the texture robot.
But then what if they're mortal enemies, the taste robot and the texture robot?
They always disagree.
We talked a little bit about when the artificial intelligence that plays Go, the board game, the Chinese board game, won, like, the AI beat a human opponent. And that was a big deal because Go is even more complicated than chess, potentially. Well, the human Go champion who had said that he would never face AI again is coming back to the table. We're guessing because probably a lot of money is involved. Yeah.
But the important thing is AlphaGo is retired. They're not putting it against people anymore. I mean, it basically I think it retired because it was like, what more can I do?
Yeah.
I have mastered the game.
Well, I guarantee you the algorithm is still doing stuff somewhere.
Well, yeah, I think they're working on other stuff. But, they did the, they used that same sort of learning. Remember they did the chess and
China. Now StarCraft.
Is it Chinese or Japanese chess? I think it's Chinese chess. Anyway, there are other competing AIs that aren't quite as good as AlphaGo. And they had a tournament. And this guy's taking on the second place winner from that tournament.
Neat.
Second place?
I'm sure that we will report on that once that finishes developing or whatever.
But I think you're right. Like, at this point, because how do you monetize being the best Go player in the world? Are there large prize pools in China for that?
I want to say that it will be exactly like the movie Dodgeball, except with Go.
You sell your own brand of gaming chairs?
Yes.
Extreme Go chairs.
I'm sure he's got like a home Go board branded with him, right?
Oh, yeah.
If he's probably not, he's missing the boat. All right.
Whoever the modern day Frank Lloyd Wright is has designed his home to resemble a giant Go board or something. I don't know. It's fine. This story is amazing. So Google's voice generating AI is now indistinguishable from humans. A lot of these Google stories, like, not too much of a distraction. A lot of the Google stories are like, Google's doing this amazing thing in this ivory tower, and we, the people, the peasants, will never have access to this. This is on GitHub right now. You can go download this and get it. And this voice generating AI is unbelievable.
I didn't try this out. Did you? Any of you listen to it?
Was yeah, they are identical. You can't tell the difference.
Wow. It is insane.
It's actually two AIs working together. One of them, takes the text and processes it into the spectrogram of the voice, and then the other AI takes the spectrogram and makes it speak in this woman's voice. It's just this one woman. Like, they can't do any other voices right now.
It's like Microsoft Anna.
You'd have to build a new one. But it can do perfect recreation of whatever text you give it. And if you go, I don't think we have the capability to play these, but they give you an actual human and then the AI imitating them, it's perfect.
The Quartz page really doesn't have a lot of examples, but the GitHub IO link has a ton more examples. Even things like inflection, like there's two sentences, and one sentence just ends with a question mark, and that, you know, that in inflective raise at the end of the last word to indicate an interrogative, it's executed perfectly.
And it also does all caps. If you all caps a word,
does it, she screams?
She puts emphasis on it. No, yeah. It's much more subtle, but she...
Wow.
As the boiler snake. He loves AI stories.
he's trying to take over, but the only thing that he's doing right now is mining Monero to order spare parts for himself.
I don't know. So there's no my Rafflecopter goes swah, swah, swah.
You could do that.
You could, yeah.
Well, but she would probably read it correctly. Yeah. No one, the kids these days won't appreciate the old Microsoft Sam and Microsoft Anna and like the trolling we used to do with that. It's a disappointment to live in the future.
Krista might have used to troll 4chan.
That was popular outside of 4chan. Everyone knew that.
A CMU team has published a paper on their poker playing AI and how it beat the best humans. I missed this article somehow. This is a follow-up to the story that we did a couple of weeks ago, isn't it?
It's been more than a couple of weeks. But yeah, they won this tournament. It was a big deal. And these were like the best pro players in the world. And they're basically telling how they did it. So there's a ridiculous number of possible hands in poker. So this thing sort of consolidated. Like all the worthless hands, it considered as one entity. And like a king flush and a queen flush, it considered those basically the same. So it didn't have to consider all those different possibilities. It sort of consolidated. But also in its practice, it used methods that was more prepared in the first third of the game and less prepared in the second. And then in the third, almost totally going on what it had learned in the previous two thirds. So this one, this Trib Live, they didn't go into incredible detail. I think the story where they did was FT and that was paywalled. But I would be interested to read more about that because... They gave a lot more details than was in this paper. Oh, it's actually, it's a paper you can read.
Yeah, the CMU published the paper, I think. That might have been the one, the paper might have been published for a while. It's just the articles are just coming out. But the really amazing thing about the AI was that it was incorporating, I think the last time we covered it, we were talking about how the AI was incorporating things that the players, its opponent players were doing into what it was learning, and that's how it learned to anticipate, because I think some of the human players were trolling the AI, and it trolled right back.
And it got better. So, like, if you look at that chart, show the chart.
Became a master troll. Down.
The red line is the AI. So you can see in this, when in the second third of the game, when it started to not go off of its regular algorithm and start to use its learned, it really started to pull away. And then the third, it was just like, yeah, crushing them.
Yeah, 1.7 million. Yeah, almost 1.8.
The closest player lost 83,000.
Wow. That's just 85, yeah. Oh, they lost 880,000. Wow. That seems like a lot.
So, online poker. Don't bother.
Don't bother, because now there's going to be bots, just like in other gaming.
No. Overwatch? Overwatch bots?
PUBG.
That does exist.
Chinese hackers.
Chinese hackers in your poker. In my poker game, it's more likely than you think.
Oh, British cops are using AI to find porn, but it keeps mistaking deserts for porn. So the AI is not working that great for the British cops.
I don't know. It's a hot-looking sand dune.
That's like a whole storyline of Arrested Development. They called it years ago.
Yeah, these are, I think, just for child porn. They talk about child porn here, but I wonder, because you know they're doing that porn ban.
Yeah.
In Britain, right? This is in Europe. And I think they're trying to use that for this. Now, they claim that when they seize a hard drive, what they want to do is they want to just run it through this thing to see if there's any porn, what's the purpose of that? Maybe you catch some child porn, yeah, but most of the time you're just looking at somebody's sex tapes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That's a little bit creepy. Do we need to be doing that?
Someone does, apparently.
But, it's not great. They also, there were certain actresses, and it would find fully clothed pictures of them and always tag them as porn.
Which is, sounds like the data set that trained that AI was not very good. I don't know. Bitcoin is up and down. Bitcoin has been on a wild roller coaster whole holiday season.
This article is a couple days old, at least. I think
what's
right before it was
now?
Like 13.3 or 13.5.
It is still fluctuating wildly between like 12, 13 and like 16, 17.
But that's back down. I think it bottomed out at 11.
Yeah.
So we're slowly losing all of that bounce. Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know,
it's still up like 75,000% over 6 months ago.
But once you let the margin players in to short it with the futures and everything, I think that's the death knell, man. I mean, because they can manipulate it now with margin.
Yeah, that's not that is not a good situation for Bitcoin long term value. There's a Exmo Bitcoin exchange manager that has been kidnapped in Kiev. I read this article and it was just mind blowing. He stepped out of his office. And some thugs in a Mercedes, so, you know, clearly kidnapped him. And the police wouldn't confirm anything other than to say that someone had been kidnapped. But I don't think this guy had any access to Bitcoin. He was just the analytics guy.
But he probably has some personal Bitcoin. You know, I mean, if you work in a place like this, chances are good that you have some. And you got to think, he's got at least 10 Bitcoin probably. You know, you work in that industry, at least. And these guys are thinking, oh, well, you know, for $100K, we'll kidnap somebody. Yeah.
We'll kidnap somebody.
And we know that they have a way to immediately transfer it to us that can't be traced, right? We're confident of that. So let's go get him.
Yeah, that's I'm always reminded of the XKCD comic where it's like, what happens when you have this kind of cryptography? And then it's like, in my imagination, it's like, oh, they're using uncrackable crypto. We've been defeated. And then in the reality fork of the comic, it says, oh, he's using crypto? Okay, I'll go get the wrench.
Or the AK in this scenario.
We'll just shoot his leg. It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to bleed out unless you give us the keys. It's like, okay, sounds good. It's probably dead anyway. Goldman Sachs is setting up a cryptocurrency trading desk. So after, you know, all of the Wall Street investment banking, you know, sort of poo-pooing on Bitcoin as much as possible, they're getting into it.
Well, they have to now. It's not just a phase, Mom.
Not just Bitcoin. You know, there was one cryptocurrency here I didn't recognize that they said that they were going to trade.
The weird thing about this that I read, and maybe if you're not doing Bitcoin, this is fine, but they said they were thinking about putting this in the electronic trading arm of Goldman Sachs, which is the high-frequency traders. But you couldn't effectively high-frequency trade Bitcoin because the fees would eat you alive.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, what they're expected to do there. I think all cryptos are going to run into that problem, which is a good thing if you're like, oh, that sucks. No, no, no. That's great because high-frequency trading is cheating and you're not allowed to do it, or at least you don't have the means to do it.
What if, you know, I'm thinking of like not – Wall Street's too late, but we've talked about the Chinese firms. Like I'm sure there's a Chinese equivalent of Goldman Sachs. I don't know what that would be.
Chinese government.
Yeah.
Chinese central bank.
Yeah.
But they're super into Bitcoin. I wonder if you could get into kind of a system where the confirmation system is like, oh, Goldman Sachs is executing a trade. We'll just go ahead and confirm those transactions, even though we don't expect to be paid out from the blockchain just because of who they are as a way to manipulate things.
Well, if you, I'm sure you could make, you could have, so Goldman Sachs could set up a mining system that only confirmed Goldman Sachs trades.
Yeah.
That would be easy enough.
But it would have to be huge, like China's huge, like China cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency mines.
See that. But then they'd have to cut them out, you know, in part of it.
Yeah.
But with a market that moves this much, high frequency would probably make a killing.
Yeah.
But you'd fill up the blockchain horribly.
Yeah.
And everybody could see what you were doing and copy it.
Yeah. Well, there's still the wallet mixing and stuff like that, so maybe it wouldn't be too bad. But you still will be eaten alive on fees. Even very small fees would probably eat you alive.
But with the wallet mixers, I don't know if they're still operating with all those fees. Because think about that.
It'll be tricky.
I'm sure they'll figure out a way. Where there's a cent to be made, Goldman Sachs will uncover a way to do it.
Speaking of which, traditional banks are real nervous about Bitcoin, so... tensions are rising as investors claim banks freezing their accounts. This is happening in Australia. This has been happening in the U.S. for at least 2 or 3 years. Banks are not outright banning Bitcoin, but a lot of banks will close your account or reduce the functionality of your bank account if you are transacting with companies that are known to deal in Bitcoin.
A couple of people who got their accounts frozen or shut down or whatever, they said they received letters saying that they were dealing in fraudulent activity. And of course they called them up and they were like, what's the fraud? And they didn't have any more information for them. It's just, you have to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to leave.
Yeah.
Get off the phone.
That's happened a lot here in America. I think we reported on that happening with Chase Bank last year or some time ago. So this is not anything new. It's just coming to Australia because, yeah, that's happening.
Because banks, not big fans of Bitcoin. Don't let Goldman Sachs fool you. They're getting in on it because it's a money train and they want money. But if they had their way, they would gladly destroy it.
Because it interferes with the status quo.
Yeah.
Which is why it was invented in the first place, which is kind of funny. I mean, there is a certain irony, though, that one of the reasons Bitcoin was invented was the transaction fees. And, you know, Visa, with its, you know, 2%, is not looking completely terrible.
I read a great thing that was talking about how the sense, and even some people overheard on Wall Street with cryptocurrency, is they were saying it's something's wrong because the wrong people are becoming millionaires. And they're like, no, the technical people, they don't become millionaires. They work for us. We become millionaires. This is wrong. Something's wrong here.
Wow. That's just how it is in the world.
Not surprising at all.
Speaking of things that are not right in the world, excessive video gaming is going to be recognized as a mental health disorder by the World Health Organization. Can't wait for those government disability checks on too much gaming.
Did they mention Overwatch specifically here? Because I know somebody.
I'm not addicted. I can go a couple days and not play.
So the WHO, they are going to say this, but the DSM, which is the American publication on actual things, they claim...
On actual things.
On actual diseases. They claim there's not enough information to say that. And they interviewed a professional gamer, and he was like, well, how about alcohol or coffee or sex? Or it's like...
A lot of those are classified.
It's, it's just like anything else in the world. You can do too much of it.
Yeah. Anyone who has like an addictive personality, I could see getting hooked on it.
Are you telling me there's such a thing as too much vanilla ice cream?
What do you think? Maybe we should get ahead of this and we should... we'll refurb the basement and we'll set up the world's first Video game rehab.
Video game detox clinic.
Yeah. We couldn't do it in the basement, though. That we need to be like near a park, you know, make them go outside.
Well, who's
exercise.
Who says that that's part of the video game rehab? You know, we'll come up with our own system.
What if we detox them using VR headsets where they're in a park in the VR headset?
I think that's counterintuitive. Unless it's like a really severe case and you have to like work them up and it's like, no, it's a game, but you're going to go outside and you're going to interact with at least three people in the game.
See, I'm thinking more along the lines of electroshock, but delivered based on game feedback, right?
So, oh, you you fed?
Well,
you
know how like a game rewards you with endorphins, right?
Yeah.
So where you would normally get a good feeling from a video game, we make that a bad experience for you.
So like VR Frisbee, except when you miss the Frisbee, you get electrocuted.
No, when you catch the Frisbee.
Yeah, when you do well.
Yeah.
Interesting. So kind of like the reverse Dark Souls.
When you get a quad kill as Tracer with your pulse bomb, just a massive electric shock.
I've got a lot. This is a great headline: how the glitch stole Christmas in South Carolina. So they were doing some kind of Christmas tree thing.
If you were playing any other lottery game, you could add a Christmas bonus lottery ticket, once a year thing.
And it would add Christmas trees, and everybody was winning on those, $500 a pop.
It was a scratcher, and like depending on how many Christmas trees you got, you won a certain amount of money, and the max was $500. But they screwed up with the algorithm, and they put in way too many Christmas
like,
trees.
Like, weren't a bunch of them just straight Christmas just trees? Like, you couldn't Christmas lose, trees. Yeah.
And of course, you know, this is sort of the viral Facebook. These people would win. Now, I don't understand this mentality. If you knew that you could just keep winning the lottery, would you run out and tell everybody?
No.
No, I would just keep winning the lottery until somebody stopped me. But that's not what these people did. They ran out and told everybody, and pretty soon everybody was winning. And they interviewed people who had like $18,000 worth of tickets. But they're not real sure they're going to pay out on those.
Yeah, the South Carolina Lottery Commission has said, don't throw those away, but we're looking into what we can do here. So it's definitely a glitch, but it's unclear
if they'll actually pay anything to anybody.
Yeah, if and to what extent they're on the hook.
Now, has the lottery ever, in the history of the lottery, said, oh, you know what? We didn't make enough winners. Here's your money back. Everybody, here's your money back. No, they've never done that. It's a game. You screwed up. You played it wrong. You lost. I think you pay out.
Minimally, these people will get a refund for their tickets, I'm sure.
They haven't even said that they're definitely going to give them a refund.
They'll definitely get a refund for their tickets, but I don't...
How much are the tickets even? I don't play the lottery.
It was an extra dollar on top of what... But see, you had to buy another ticket.
Yeah.
And then add this one on. So...
How much that is.
Do you refund both tickets in that case?
It's going to be expensive for the lottery commission either way.
I mean, it's not like they just print money every day, so... They might be able to afford it.
Here's the level one clickbait headline of the show, and that is going to the Apple app store, like a physical retail Apple store, can be fatal.
How about, we know it should be better than that. It should be like Apple death icicles.
Yeah.
Apple death icicles, all right. This is a picture
of their roof.
If you go to the Apple app store in Chicago, it was not designed to handle snow appropriately, and so when the snow melts, it forms deadly icicles that fall on people, potentially, and they would be deadly if that actually happened.
This is actually a really common thing in modern architecture, where they don't have sloped roofs. They have to, like, implement special different things to actually make the water run off the way it's supposed to. And older buildings, like real ones that were built, like, in the 50s and stuff, will routinely have maintenance issues with water pooling on the roofs. In this case, people could die from an icicle impaling them.
It's Chicago.
Yeah, you should have known. This is and it's 2017. We've known flat roofs are a problem for a while.
But this roof looks like the MacBook, which is just so pretentious, and it's so great.
It's amazing.
That they're going to have to pay a bunch of money to deal with this stupid mistake, this form over function. I don't know. That seems familiar to the Apple product, doesn't it?
Form over. It's like, this store has to look amazing. We don't care if the icicles will kill people.
Maybe they, you know, they did the math and it was like, all right, here. I think we're going to get this many settlements per year, per Chicago winter. but it's going to look this amazing. And they're like, all right, we'll do it.
All right, man. Sounds good.
We got all the money in the world, right? Just pay them.
It's going to look unlike any other building in Chicago.
Which, hilariously, it does look pretty similar to a lot of other buildings in Chicago.
It's going
to
be 20 Chicagoan deaths per unit of beauty. That's the threshold. And if we don't exceed that, build it.
In other bad news for Apple this week, they lost a court case where they were suing a couple of brothers over the Steve Jobs clothing brand.
And they don't, okay, what's crazy about this? They don't even sell the black turtleneck. They just sell douchey t-shirts.
Well, I mean, does anything branded Steve Jobs, is it possible for that not to be douchey? Yeah.
No, the answer is no.
Someone who cares enough to want something that says Steve Jobs
on it.
But
those t-shirts aren't even, like, they look like, I don't know, like a first year, or not even a first year, but just like, they look like something I would design. And if you were like, hey, make a designer t-shirt, and be like, well, let's put a fucking red square on it and just put the word Steve Jobs in the middle.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would cost to carry these in the Level 1 store.
And sell them for like $2.
But if, like, whoever orders them, we get their IP and we blacklist it from everything that we do, because I don't want anybody wearing a Steve Jobs shirt in our audience.
It's so weird because it seems like they're trying to go for like the upscale look. But, like, the logo is just garbage.
I don't think they know anything about what they're doing. They had one good idea. And they're like, we should steal Steve Jobs' name. Now, they did. The reason they won the court case is they actually did their homework. And they were like, hey, Apple hasn't registered any trademark or copyright on the name Steve Jobs. So we could steal that.
And they did in Europe.
And they did.
Krista, how would you rate that logo?
Can you scroll down a little bit? I can't see it that well. I would rate that pretty low. It's not very legible.
Well, they basically took the Apple logo and then removed everything that's not a J.
Yeah. I don't think it's very effective at communicating. I think that... Are they using... I can't tell what font they're using. Probably Helvetica.
I don't know. I can't spot font. Now, here's the hilarious thing.
It's in three dimensions.
Since these guys have won their court case... I mean, it doesn't look like they have any experience designing shirts, right?
Yeah, or
they
anything.
They certainly don't have any experience with electronics, but they're coming out with a line of electronics, so you might be able to buy a Steve Jobs phone pretty soon.
Ooh. Apple has created a monster.
With nothing to do with Apple.
Oh, this story's going to be amazing. I'm going to really enjoy reporting on all of those stories from now until the end of time, because those guys are amazing. The other Apple news from this week, well, actually the last couple of weeks, we haven't reported on this for the last couple of weeks because we wanted to see how this would shake out. And if you've been living under a rock, it turns out that Apple iPhones, the older ones, with the software updates, they actually do get slower. Apple blames this on the battery not being able to deliver enough power to the phone when the phone needs to do something computationally intense. So if the battery is not doing well, the phone will slow itself down to have better battery life and prevent the possibility of the phone shutting off if it needs more power than the battery can deliver.
People understandably bitched about it because that sucks. And then it's like, well, I can't use my really expensive device. So now they're offering a battery replacement.
Yeah, interestingly, if you did an aftermarket battery replacement, it would work fine. So it really was something in the software that detected the state of the battery. But other phones from other vendors don't do that.
And you kind of want to give them a little bit of credit when it's like, okay, we did this because if the battery is too taxed and it's too run down, the phone will actually just shut off. So to prevent that, we slowed it down. Because a slow phone is better than a phone that just turns itself off, right? But they promised early on in the iPhone lineup that this was a lifetime battery, right? You don't need to change the battery. Don't need replaceable batteries. Of course you don't. This is going to be fine.
It just works.
It's going to get better with updates. And it got slower with updates. And people are, you know, I mean, this is sort of like the whole clickbait, you know, short attention span. People only hear my iPhone is slower on purpose, and they have collectively lost their shit.
I think, you know, I would love to see a full schematic diagram. This is probably something for Lewis Rossman to look at, but I believe the technology exists for, you know, something called low dropout regulators, where when the battery can't deliver enough volts, it'll just draw more current to offset that, or the current voltage thing is sort of a conversation between the voltage controller and the phone, like they're explicitly talking about how many watts are available. and then stuff will happen with that. So it may actually be down to a problem in the design of Apple's voltage regulation circuitry, which may be fixed in newer phones. Could also be that their batteries are just crappy, because other vendors don't really seem to have that problem. I mean, they do a little bit. I've definitely had an older Samsung phone that the battery would just shut off, but why is this?
It seems rarer with other phones.
Definitely does.
Well, the other companies have publicly stated they don't do this. So, yeah. And a lot of people are like, if the other companies don't come out and tell me that they're not doing this, I'm going to assume that everybody's doing it, so they jump a ride on it. They're like, nope.
Oh, no, we would never, never, absolutely never do that.
And there's a lawsuit that's been filed in California and France is France has an explicit law against planned obsolescence. So there's a lawsuit there. But here in the U.S., Apple's being sued for $999 billion because that's what we do here in America.
USA.
Apple's probably the only company on earth that might actually be able to pay that out.
Yeah. They do have such an insane amount of money, don't they? And finally, to wrap our first story of 2018, we've got 18 exponential changes we can expect in the year ahead. This article is complete and utter BS.
But Wendell, tell them why you include it. I read this article, and as soon as I read it, I know exactly why I included it. It was point 10. And why don't you scroll down and tell us what point 10 is?
Let's start at the top, because I think we can get a lot of comedy gold out of all of these. International relations and the political economy and governance will desperately need new design patterns as we enter a phase of the digital revolution. That was true since the 1970s, let's be honest.
It's like a horoscope.
Yeah.
It's true in that it's vague and it's just word salad. It doesn't mean anything.
It does. There's a lot of jargon just, that doesn't make any just sense.
This guy was just wiping his ass and rubbing the paper against another paper, and it's like, ah, yes, these are my predictions.
Well, can I restate that in a way that maybe makes it more clear? It's like world governments wake up to the fact that the internet may be delivering an accurate picture of what's really going on to the populace, and are working to shut it down and obfuscate it.
Yeah, like the Facebook fake news thing. It turns out people don't trust you.
Yeah. Who knew?
Number two, while Silicon Valley leads, both innovation and scaling increasingly occur across the globe. So this is saying, my interpretation of this is saying that tiny companies in like Venezuela will be able to take advantage of Silicon Valley technology.
That's a really bad example.
Bad example, but...
Was that an intentionally chosen bad example?
The point still stands.
Don't know. I'm just saying, okay, so it's like the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man will soon lead in technological innovation.
Yeah, not if the CIA has anything to say about it.
Okay, what about number three? Surely number three will be better. More money will flow into technology, but it will be concentrated at later stages.
What does that even mean?
I think that's something about Bitcoin. More money, like Goldman Sachs is going to dump money into Bitcoin.
Well, maybe people will not invest in startups so much and wait till they've been solidified for a couple of years.
What do you think the last year was where it wasn't true that more money flowed into technology?
Yeah.
Was it, the agricultural revolution, maybe?
Probably like 1963. Like, that was like the lull in the space program and nothing really happened.
But there were other technologies if you think about like industrialized farming and, consumer appliances, like that, TVs.
I don't know why it made me think of it, but for some reason I got to thinking about the U.S. Postal Service pensions. The U.S. Postal Service is the only company in America, or the only entity in America, that is forced to pre-fund its pensions, which is why it's in dire economic straits. No other reason.
But also, it gets borrowed against whenever the government needs money, which is, that doesn't help.
So the Postal Service pensions are literally raided by the government for other things, which is why they forced the Postal Service to pre-fund it. It's not that the Postal Service is not profitable. The Postal Service is actually very profitable if you take the pensions out of it and you have the pensions like any other company or government entity. Even the government is underfunded in their own pensions by like $7 trillion. So, yeah, that's good. Maybe AI will solve that problem. The AI software stack will continue to diverge from traditional software.
How could it not? How could that not be? Give me one. If the U.S. and North Korea nuke each other, this will still be true.
Ryan literally can't even right now.
Okay. What about artificial intelligence will be the technology investment priority for large firms? I'm pretty sure that AI is going to be the investment priority for small firms too.
Yeah.
This is already true. It's not 2018. That's been true all of 2017.
We will increasingly demonstrate how AI is augmenting human capabilities.
Now, this is just the water carrying. This is that whole, like, no, AI is not going to take jobs. It's going to enhance them. No.
Yeah.
It will definitely take
that. That was really just a lead-in for number 7, which literally says that. Number 8, crypto technologies will become more important and start to demonstrate their utility. What?
I guess that's like the whole Ethereum thing. Like, because the utility really hasn't been used. It's just mania right now. And maybe that's true. I don't know.
I haven't come up with anything, like any really amazing example of how blockchain is useful somewhere else. Like, blockchain intrinsically creates a whole bunch of new technologies, but how is blockchain applied to whatever useful?
The one thing that I've seen that was a good idea about that was like title and ownership.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, house deeds and...
Well, we're not doing that yet.
No, we're not doing that, but it would be good. Because people actually buy insurance on the deed to their house. And nobody can, like, do some fancy paperwork and steal it from them. And blockchain would actually probably solve all that.
I think I read about an interesting project where Maersk, the shipping company, was planning to use blockchain to manage their documents as well. But I haven't seen anything materialize from that. So, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if you call that revolutionizing, you know, like one or two little things, but I guess that would be how it would have to work. That one could be true, because if it's like, well, no one's thinking of how that works, then all of a sudden it does and it takes over, then I'll give this guy 1 point if that happens.
Sorted revelations and crypto speculation will be outweighed by the wall of money entering the assets class.
Yeah, I'm basically saying that it doesn't matter how much gets stolen, people are greedy and they're going to keep buying it. Just like they are now. Of course, Bitcoin's pulling back, but it's still way up.
Bitcoin, the whole crypto, so Bitcoin is only like, what, 49% of the transaction volume in the whole ecosystem at this point. The value is still way up, but it's easy to imagine that in the future, maybe Bitcoin transaction volume is only like 15 or 20%. And at that point, maybe the value declines because it's not a significant percentage of the overall transaction volume.
But he's saying crypto overall.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Again, has been true. No reason to think that it won't continue to be true. It's not some crystal ball.
And number 10,
this
Kit,
is the one.
The car from Knight Rider will remain the gold standard for autonomous vehicles, but none will ship to the public in 2018.
Now, here's a question for you. You're sort of a utilitarian when it comes to vehicles.
Extremely utilitarian, as in keeps a car for 30 years.
If we get a super AI, right? Let's say 2020, right? They've got this amazing autonomous driving AI, and Pontiac, which doesn't exist anymore, is reformed to bring back the Trans Am.
And I can buy a Knight Rider.
And it's $65,000. Are you going to do it?
That's a little expensive.
But it's Kit.
I'd probably wait a few years and try to get it on the used market.
Oh, you don't want a used Kit.
A used Kit?
He already loves someone else.
He's already been on adventures with somebody else. He doesn't even come with the cool watch anymore where you can call him.
Like, you don't stimulate him like the old owner does, and he's just constantly moping.
I wonder, Tesla has that summoning app. I wonder if anybody has written, like, the Apple Watch version of the app where you can talk to your watch, like on Knight Rider, and summon the Tesla. That would be cool. I know some people that have Teslas, and it's just like, wow, this is a really amazing car.
The car is always talking about its ex. When you're trying to have a nice time, to celebrate your anniversary.
Using the wrong name, passive-aggressively.
Oh, I'm sorry, I just loved my other owner so much.
Healthcare becomes increasingly interesting for entrepreneurs. This seems kind of dystopian to me. Yeah. It's like, hey, American citizen, you don't have health insurance, right, but you can be a part of this experiment and maybe not die of cancer.
But that also, like, that should be the one place where there is no profit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the doctors should be paid well, because you want people to
have incentive to treat you well.
And huge competition, you know, so yeah. You want to keep their salaries up there. But in terms of hospitals reaping giant profits, you never want that. But, yeah.
a novel cyber attack in terms of scale or quality will emerge. Well, that just seems
that's next
that reads
week.
Like a fortune cookie.
That's I would be amazed if we get through January without that one coming true.
The U.S. midterm elections will focus on systematic information warfare with the advantage.
That's every freaking election since forever.
Well, since we've had the internet, at least.
So what you're telling me is that making the American population stupid by systematically dismantling a world-class education system has come back to backfire because more people than ever believe the world is flat or that...
And they love fake news.
Or the vaccines are no longer needed. I mean...
Oh, the vaccines.
Have you heard... I just recently this week learned of this word, but you know what a flat earther calls someone who's not a flat earther?
No.
A globe head.
A globe head? Well, next you're going to tell me they're going to call me a meanie butt.
I mean, heads are kind of globes, aren't they?
I mean, yeah. Well, no, they're flat. Flat head theory.
Augmented reality is going to continue to simmer rather than boil, so apparently augmented reality is not going to take over the world. I don't necessarily agree with this one because a lot of firms that have really complicated stuff they have to do, like on an assembly line or with machinery or things like that, are already using augmented reality in really interesting ways.
But I think this guy, I mean, we kind of get an idea of what level he's operating on here. He probably doesn't consider boiling to be anything less than the iPhone.
Ah.
Yeah.
Until I can just, like, staple something to my eyelid, it's not...
No, it's until everybody's walking down the street.
Until everyone wants
goggles.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just for businesses or...
And you're buying one for your 15-year-old son because he won't shut up.
Yeah.
And all the other kids have them.
Number 15, I don't think he really says enough about it, but it's like digital advertising has been invasive for far too long, and this year ad tech will suffer. It hasn't suffered so far, but there is a massive implosion coming. If looking at what the top 10, you know, advertising firms are doing in America and the kind of firms that they're acquiring and the kind of jobs that they're pursuing now, the entire ad industry is in for a massive shift. And it's probably not in analytics the way that you think it is.
Well, I think we're already seeing the rotation from the ad that we see there on the side of that page.
It's just following us all the way down.
To mining your data and selling it. And yeah. Then whoever buys it uses it invasively rather than to try and display things to you. So I think, yeah, we're already seeing that. You're going to see fewer ads, but it's not necessarily that they're giving up. It's just that they're going far more insidious. They're going guerrilla marketing type of thing to find out everything about you and use it against you.
Consider a website like PC Part Picker, though. PC Part Picker is a really interesting antithesis of... the whole advertising apparatus in that PC Part Picker will find you the best deal on whatever components there are, show you what works best together, and will also show you sites that have reviewed a particular component so that you can see what the merits of the component are from third parties and that kind of thing. It's almost like Consumer Reports on steroids for components. I see the future of advertising being those types of services. I mean, can you imagine a firm that is like, let's figure, it's like, I will go to the firm and be like, I have money to buy a vacuum cleaner. I want to know what my options are for something in this price range that's going to work well in this scenario. And let's just cut out the middleman.
But you can't, I mean, what, if you're a guy trying to sell shitty vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, yes, if you're
exactly.
The manufacturer.
You can't do that. So yeah. You have to have a way to try and get attention that's not based on your merit.
Yeah, that's my point exactly, is that the total information awareness, the internet being the panopticon of all human knowledge, is going to make people selling shitty vacuum cleaners not possible.
No way. So you tell them, okay.
I think that's true when you're advertising toward millennials. That's like the whole thing. They want more authentic.
Take your analogy
sort of stuff.
And erase technology. Just put it on politics.
This is the finest red vacuum cleaner money can buy.
Yeah. People aren't willing to put that much effort into it, and they're basically just going to believe what you put in front of them. And that's the basis of the advertising industry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're just going to find other ways to manipulate your mind.
Do you think that Amazon or some company like that will come out with a digital assistant or a real life assistant that is like, here is my grocery budget, here's my whatever. I'm willing to go with you on an experiment. you know, send me good groceries or send me good food or send me good household items. And then Amazon can make those calls based on deals that they negotiate with vendors. Kind of like what Walmart does.
That already exists.
But what about Amazon reviews and that cesspool?
Well, Amazon,
they get it wrong constantly.
Yeah, Amazon reviews is really bad. But you are no longer making the choice. You're delegating the choice to somebody else. And if they do a bad job, you would pick like the Walmart assistant as opposed to the Amazon assistant.
But then you're going to get, how much money does Walmart stand to make by cutting a deal where the second best toothpaste pays them a way higher margin to be selected as the best toothpaste?
Yeah, that maybe is already happening in a lot of ways. Like the second best toothpaste is paying for better shelf placement and things like that. I mean, I would love to know what all the backroom deals are and those kind of things across the industry, because I bet it's really fascinating.
Yeah, the reality is you're never going to be able to delegate figuring out what's best for yourself. Sorry.
Damn it.
Wendell desperately wants that technology, but because then he'd have more time to do other things. But
yeah, pretty much. Ethics will increasingly drive consumer choice and investing strategy, which is kind of what we were talking about, but not really.
Well, I think that's more to do with like the SJW stuff. Like companies are going to suffer if they're
not
perceived to be
vegan, gluten-free.
If your drinkable oatmeal has gluten, you're doomed.
It's whole grain and gluten-free. I don't understand it.
Buddha, Aristotle, Hayek, and Marx will make a comeback.
That seems like a strangely specific.
This seems like this guy might be a commie.
I don't know. And that's pretty much it.
That was his last one, yeah.
And that's our first episode of the year. We can definitively say this is the worst episode of the year.
You know what's amazing is this was one of the smallest roundups of stories. The news was really short. Like, there wasn't much going on this week. And we went an hour 20.
We'll find a way. We just leech the content
wrong
out
with that picture.
I don't know about you guys, but I was deliberately trying to be more conversational just to see how that would go, because we had a really short run on stories, and so we inserted a lot more. I don't know, what would you call that?
Gibberish.
Crap. We inserted a lot more crap in this episode week of the news. So you guys that listen to this as a podcast will definitely have to let us know what you thought. If you made it this far. Only a very small number of you actually make it this far, or at least that we hear from. So it's more on the Level One forum and Patreon. I think we had another record month. So if you want to join Patreon, that's really amazing. It helps us out a lot and gives us the funding to do more interesting stuff. We've got some interesting stuff coming up. So if you're listening to this in a podcast form, thank a patron. So good job. And goodbye. And we'll see you next week.